confused. Peter finally got it right. Rocky, and I like to use that nickname. Peter's given name was Simon, but Jesus called him Peter, which means rock. So Rocky had stumbled over other questions and might have been a little discouraged, but this time he could pat himself on the back. In today's reading, Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered the question correctly. I'm sure he was proud of himself for finally getting it. And then he was confused again. Question is, was he ever really right to begin with? I think folks generally read this part before Jesus called Peter Satan and told how he, Jesus, was going to suffer and die and rise again as the time where Peter really got it. But, you know, Peter was confused. When Peter called Jesus the Messiah, which is the Hebrew word, Jesus used the same term as the Christ, the Greek word. Both words mean anointed one, and usually refer to the kings of Israel. The kings were powerful and they ruled absolutely. Weakness was not something that people associated with king, an anointed one. Suffering and death would certainly not go with the title. So Peter called Jesus the Messiah. In Matthew, and today's reading was from Mark, he also called Jesus the Son of the Living God. Both titles would usually be reserved for the king or the Egyptian pharaohs. And when Peter called Jesus that or those names, it was as if he was calling on Jesus to take over and maybe even set things right with a military coup. Peter wanted Jesus to show up and take charge with violence and power. Jesus called Peter out and set the disciples back on course. He called Peter Satan. And before anyone gets too concerned about that, Satan may be a loaded term for us, you know, now with the way that people use it. But it means adversary. And it doesn't have the same implications the church lady from Saturday Night Live used to have. Jesus called out Peter and set the disciples straight about what was coming. Jesus wasn't going to storm in and take power violently, because violence is not the answer. And returning violence for violence is not the answer. Showing force and threatening violence is not the answer. Boasting how large your missile arsenal is does not lead to peace. A threat of, display of, or use in retaliation of violence does not show a people of peace. It shows a people of violence. When a people of peace respond to violence with peace, it neither shows weakness nor naivete. It shows a commitment to peace. Not because someone else offers peace or lives that way, but because that's what people of peace do. Jesus was not about violence. He was and is about peace. And not some kind of fake peace, a true peace built on respect and not responding with violence. And so, today, identifying Jesus as the Messiah comes with an understanding that Jesus isn't about government or military takeovers. It comes with an understanding that following Jesus is about authentically loving God and loving everyone rather than forcing anyone to believe the way you do, right? It may sound contrary to how folks who claim to be Christian talk and conduct themselves, but it is how Jesus is. Identifying Jesus as the Messiah comes with an understanding that Jesus isn't about government or military takeovers. It comes with an understanding that following Jesus is about authentically loving God and loving everyone, rather than forcing anyone to believe the way you do. And there's more. If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who want to lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wow. Too many have misused these words to tell oppressed people that their suffering is their cross to bear, instead of advocating for and working for change to systems that cause, add to, or feed the underlying reasons for the suffering of the marginalized, the outcast, and the forgotten. These words have been used as a weapon to put people down instead of an inspiration to serve God. Jesus' words aren't about telling the oppressed to suck it up. They're about an attitude adjustment. They're about understanding that when Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That we are called not to tell folks that it's their cross to bear, but rather we are to stop thinking about accumulating more stuff and start acting to be sure everyone has enough. They're not about imposing our religious values or rules on someone else or claiming persecution when someone else gets the same rights you do, whether you like it or not. Words from theologian Barbara Brown Taylor in her book Learning to Walk in the Dark from 2014. Jesus was not brought down by atheism and anarchy. He was brought down by law and order allied with religion, which is always a deadly mix. Beware of those who claim to know the mind of God and who are prepared to use force if necessary to make others conform. Beware of those who cannot tell God's will from their own. We're not called to enforce certain religious rules on everyone. Let's spend our time and energy realizing that in loving God and one another, letting our focus be on attending to one another instead of only on ourselves, that we experience life. Let's walk toward God's vision instead of working as an adversary. Amen.